Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the Airedale Asylum. The concept of a lunatic asylum was universal around most of the world from the 1800s to the mid-1900s. Oftentimes, they were sprawling brick facilities designed to house nearly anyone that mainstream society didn't want to deal with. From legitimate mental illness to simply speaking a different language, there was no end to what could possibly qualify an innocent soul from being locked away at the Airedale Asylum. Today, we hear the very true and very haunted story of Australia's Airedale Asylum with paranormal investigator William Tabone.
The town that's built it is called Ararat, which was originally a gold mining site where the Chinese walked from South Australia, Adelaide in South Australia, down to where Ararat is now built. They found gold, and unfortunately, the European settlers basically come and push them off their land, and the town of Ararat was established. Now, it's probably about it's about a 2-hour drive from Melbourne, which is our capital city, mm-hmm. and rural. And the belief in the old days, as you probably know, with the asylums, is that fresh air, sunlight, etc., was what would help the patients get better. Mm-hmm. So Airedale was actually built on a hill. It's up very high on a hill, so that they could have this sun and have this fresh air. And there was actually three asylums built during this time, all in the same idea to help patients, but built away from Melbourne so that you're not having the lunatics so close to Melbourne. Okay. which is very, very nice of them, I think. But the asylum itself was built there because of the location, up high, plenty of sun, plenty of air, fresh air, and away from Melbourne. That was really, really the big gist of it. And to help the you know, what they called the lunatics. Mm-hmm. At the time, if you when it was built, if you were coming into the asylum, you would look at the front facade. I'm not sure whether you've seen photos. It's a very beautiful building, but once they went through the doors and they entered, they were basically locked away. It's sort of a bit of a for me, it's a bit of subterfuge, a bit of, you know, a lie. You know, people think and they looks beautiful on the outside, but I suppose once you went in the inside, past the administration, and you got entered into the asylum itself. Back in the early days, I wouldn't think it would have been a very nice place from the records and things that I've seen.
What is the timetable here? And if you said it, I apologize. But when was it built?
No, I didn't say it.
Okay,
it was built. Well, the records. Some records say 1865. Some say 1867. I always say between 1865 and 1867.
Okay,
just to cover all bases. It closed in 1991. So it had a fairly good run as an asylum. At any one time, when it was actually up and running in full bore, there was up to 1,000 patients in this location. The location itself had 63 buildings at its peak, so a very, very big, asylum, very big location. And a lot of the buildings are still left, but a lot of the outer buildings are now gone, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the main buildings are still there, although a little bit run down. They're still really, really interesting. So the time frame is basically, what's that, 160 years, roughly.
Okay. So you said 65 to 1991. You said, was it 1865?
Yes, sorry. Okay. Yes, 1865.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say 1965. I was going to say that was a pretty short run for an asylum.
That is a short run.
And a pretty late period in time.
Yeah, 1865 to 1991.
Okay, okay. Yes, that is one hell of a run. Because I was going to say, well, in the States, ours are like usually around like 1900-ish. This one actually goes back, you know, even further than many of them here in the States. So take me back to, obviously, the term that they used at the time was lunatic.
Yes.
Who would have been classified in that group? Because it's a very sweeping phrase that I know was used, but who would that have been?
Oh, for sure. Look, it really is a sweeping phrase, and I mean the term lunacy is to do with the moon. People they had a belief that when the moon could make people insane. Now the term insanity or the patients that were admitted there were very wide and, as you said, very sweeping. It could be someone with actual some sort of mental disorder or psychological disorder, but it could also be someone with epilepsy, Down syndrome, alcoholism, anything that didn't fit in with your normal medicine sort of thing, mm-hmm. Homosexuality, it's really sad when I said earlier that it was a Chinese sort of goldfield, mm-hmm. and once they were pushed off, a lot of these Chinese gentlemen couldn't speak English. So when they were still in the area, when the asylum was built, they were actually put in there to keep them out of the way.
Oh, my God.
And you can imagine not speaking English and being locked up in there just simply because you can't speak English and you were, of a Chinese descent.
Yeah.
The other thing is that always gets me, so this really, it could be really anything. I'm not sure what they said, like Down syndrome, autism, what we would call autism now, those sort of things, would be locked up in there. But the big thing for me, it always gets me, is with the females. The females could be locked up for any number of things, including, reading too much, answering back to their husbands, hanging washing out on a Sunday. absolutely insane things. The pregnancy blues after you've had a baby, mm-hmm. They could be locked up for that. And the sad thing with the females is that it took two signatures to lock them up, the doctor and the husband, but it took 7 to 8 signatures to actually get them out.
Oh, my gosh. So,
yeah, a lot of them never come out.
So it's like once you're in there, you're in there. I mean, and most of those, absolutely crazy. The only one I can say that I think would be valid would probably be the doing wash on Sundays. I'm kidding. No.
I understand.
Everything else, not acceptable. Wash on Sundays, lock her up. Yeah, no, that's...
Exactly. And there's an absolute full list. I've got it somewhere here that, it goes through just an enormous amount of... just absolutely crazy things, that could be locked up for.
It's amazing what, the way that the world worked at that time and how essentially it was, whatever the ruling group was, men at that moment in time, saying anything that's an basic inconvenience of any way, any shape or form, not even just like slight, not even like major, but just the slightest of inconveniences, you can get somebody locked away for it. Just amazing.
Yeah. If you were sick of your wife, you wanted to, be single again and go and find another wife, you could lock her up.
That is, that is amazing.
Absolutely crazy.
And it of course leads to, when you look at these buildings now and we know these stories and these realities of what these people went through, it would be tormenting and trying enough just to understand the emotion of someone who went to a mental care facility who legitimately had mental problems and needed care and help, and the torment that they're going through, just having those sort of things going on with their minds. But it's a whole other thing when you have people who are not having any sort of breakdown or issues that are just being locked away for no reason other than someone doesn't want you there. I suppose
convenience. Yeah. And I think in that case, eventually you would have fallen into some sort of insanity, I would imagine.
Eventually, you're going to develop something. Eventually, you're going to need to be in some sort of a care facility because you've been broken down, essentially, so much to the point of feeling, you know, in a very rough term, insane. Just amazing. So 63 buildings on this giant campus. I'm guessing did different ones specialize in different areas, or was it
for
just
sure.
Okay.
Well, the place itself was pretty much sustainable. It had a market garden, it had a bakery, it had massive kitchen. So they pretty much fed themselves, and they had buildings. Obviously, to do with that sort of stuff, but there's a huge male and a huge female ward. If you look at the building itself, the main building is a horseshoe. So the front of the building where you enter is administration. So the governor's office and apartments, the all the office stuff, and then running off to the right side was the female ward, which was a three-story building. Or that part of the building was three stories, running down the right side, and the same on the left side being the male building. So that was the main part. But then you had in the center of the asylum, there's a massive building which was it had offices for doctors. It had a hall for dining, and the kitchen, bakery, etc. were in the back of that building. And then you've got all the little buildings. You've got two hospitals, which were a male and female, where they used to conduct lobotomies and that sort of things. You've got a chapel, a staff quarters, which is a three-story building, and then the morgue, etc. And all these little sundry buildings, which were workshops and those sort of things. So everything had its place.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.